It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. Good to see my friend, Captain Mike Ward.
Captain John.
How are
good
you?
Morning. Yeah, doing good.
And you know, let's talk a little bit looking forward in our calendar. This is the show notes portion of the show.
Yeah.
So FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors coming up in March, which, by the way, happy Mardi Gras, everybody. Coming up in March, the weekend of the 11th, 12th, and 13th. I think that's right, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mobile Boat Show. We're back.
Yep.
It's you
looking
know,
forward to it.
It's,
by missing just 1 year, I mean,
I know it feels...
It's funny, yeah.
So yeah,
I'm ready to get back.
We are, and we're even bigger than better than ever with the Guide's Corner. If y'all have not ever seen that, Guide's Corner, so it's Mike and I anchoring, literally anchoring,
yeah.
the coverage of the Mobile Boat Show, but we bring a lot of friends with us Friday through Sunday, different guides. We'll get into, as we get closer, we'll give you the schedule, different guides from the world of offshore fishing to bass fishing to inshore fishing and everything in between will be joining us to talk about what they do. And it kind of, the Guide's Corner thing we do is versus having like a seminar, right, where you go yeah. and the person stands at the podium and it's all official and then people listen to the seminar. We have those same guides, our friends, the people
that's right.
they show up and we've got their videos going on the screens behind us at the boat show. But you can walk up and just talk one-on-one. You can sit
that's
down with Captain Bobby
Averscato.
Yeah, and you got a question about how he's catching trout this time of year or how he's rigging something. Like, he just talks to you. You got a bass fishing question, Captain Wayne Miller just will talk to you about how he does it one-on-one, which, by the way, he's going to join us later in the show. You got offshore questions. Kurt Tillman's there. We got a bunch of people coming, a bunch of guides, and that's the Guide's Corner. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll post a schedule. We'll be doing radio there. This show, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, once a year, actually twice a year. It does it during the rodeo and does it during the boat show.
Yep.
Special two-hour outdoor show. We'll be live from 10 in the morning to noon on Saturday the 12th, I guess that is, with the Guide's Corner. So stop by. And we got all kind of cool stuff to give away items, and just get to visit with folks. So we're looking forward to it. Put that on your to-do list. That's coming up in March.
It is a fun show.
Yes, it
is. It really is. You know, one of the things about when people give a seminar like Bobby, well, the best part of it is when he gets through with the seminar and everybody has questions for him.
Right,
talk
we just
to him
skip
about
to that.
Stuff.
That's
we
you're
just
right.
skip all that other stuff.
Right,
you know, standing up and talking, say, "Oh man, we get through. I got some questions for him. We just come by and ask him the questions."
You made
it's
the best
just
point.
That easy.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's, I've never known the way we explain Guide's Corner. That's the best
yeah.
way. We skip the seminar and get right to the asking the questions.
Yeah, just come on down and ask the questions.
And just have a visit. So it's a good deal. I look
and
forward
some
to
some people
seeing
get nervous.
You.
I want to talk to him. Man, these guys, all
down
of us, we just down earth, just a bunch of rednecks. That's all we are. Period.
I'm a good old boy.
Yeah, period. We all are.
So yeah, come down. I mean, it could be. I mean, everything from just in the fishing world, kind of like bigger ideas of where you're finding these fish this time of year. What are you doing to tie a knot? To what lures are you using? How you rig the thing? I mean, it's really educational. So make sure to plan to come down. And like I said, as we get closer to the event, we'll kind of give you the layout and we'll post up on our social media platform as well. Layout for the Guide's Corner. What time these different guides will be there, so you can plan when you stop by and see us. So Mobile Boat Show coming up. We're excited about being back involved with that. Well, we just missed because of COVID, like they did. So we're back. That's good.
You won't have your boat there, but you'll have your van there, so you'll be easy to see.
Yes,
we'll be easy.
Yeah,
to
the
see.
FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, our studio,
yeah,
on wheels, will be there on the main floor of the boat show. So we'll give you more details as that gets closer too. So hopefully you come by and see us. All right,
one more thing, real quick. Today, if they want to see you in person,
yeah,
you and all the people at 106.5.
But I understand that this show runs again. If you're listening at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning or Sunday evening, because
right,
this show
right.
runs many times over the weekend. This is, we're talking from Saturday morning at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
So we'll be rolling in the Floral Parade today along with St. Jude, the Joy of Life Parade, celebrating the children from our area that have been helped by St. Jude. It's such a fantastic charity. We're involved in the parade today, the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, that same one you're talking about, the studio on wheels.
Yep.
Plus, got a float following us with Tom Claxton, one of the got a high density of Marines, or you know, that that work around here. Tom being the most senior of them. You hear me, Tom? So he's going to be the float behind us will be partially the Marine Corps float, the same one you see in the Veterans Day Parade and FM Talk 106.5. So we'll have staff folks on that, and then there'll be a couple of us in the van. But we're doing the float because there's one window in the – I'm driving, so I can't throw so much, right? I'm driving. And so there's just that starboard side window. Yeah. And so it gives us – we can do more throwing when we have a float as well.
Keep your window rolled up. They might want to throw a brick at you.
I hope not. No, I'm gonna get along with the folks. That's for sure. And then there's this, because we're going to talk some fishing, more fishing later on the show. Like I said, Captain Wayne Miller's joining us. I do want to take a little time to – number one, small game season going on. You know, so you can get out, still continue. Small game. Burn season's happening. Spent most of my time lately prepping for burns and then calling them off. But, you know, it's but burn season for people who have their own land or have access to being able to burn land. A lot of that going on. Great wildlife management technique to be using. Not just to short-term get turkeys to come to you, but for the benefits in the next few years after a burn.
Absolutely.
It's one of the best. And you got to have the right land. And you got but study up. But it's one of the best things you can do to put groceries in your woods.
It is. And hog season opens up this weekend, I hear.
So hogs. thank God I don't have to. Well, knock on wood. Don't worry about that. And then looking forward into March here, which, by the way, starts here in just a few days. I would say my thoughts turn to turkey season. Mike would throw something at me. My thoughts never leave turkey season. Turkey season's an undercurrent 12 months a year with me. I'm a bit obsessive, but let's talk about some turkey season dates and some of the things that...
Because things have changed this year.
Over the last couple of years, right.
I'm telling you, I talked to a couple of my buddies. They were all ready to go on the 15th.
Yeah, so negative. You know? So let's do that. First things first.
Yes.
Let's talk, and then we're going to talk about youth season. We're going to talk about decoys, but first things first. Zone one, okay, and that's all of us down here. I mean, if there's... I don't think anybody down in here is outside of zone one. When I mean like Mobile County, Baldwin County, Washington County, Escambia County, we're all in zone one.
And now, so
Clark County is different because of the fall season.
Right,
but, yeah,
right. That's the only difference. Yeah.
And I think in Monroe County.
Yes.
So Clark and Monroe, they're not in, but all the rest of us down in here are in zone one.
Yeah.
March 25th starts the season for zone one.
Y'all remember that.
Okay.
Because everybody's used to going on the 15th.
Correct.
And it is not. It starts the 25th.
Actually, let me say this. Let me correct, because they did put this out. So the start for Clark County and Monroe County is also the 25th.
Okay.
Okay, I had to change that because it's a zone three because it has a fall season, but their start for the spring is the same.
Yeah.
So Clark and Monroe also, sorry about that,
okay,
start on the 25th. So the 25th now, remember, we have moved the start of turkey season forward. And the end is later, too. So the dates kept the same days. It just moved later in the calendar.
Right.
So March 25th, that Saturday, right? That is that a Saturday or a Friday? I think it might be a Friday, actually. Let me check this. That is the start of turkey season. Why this is important is we're going to talk about the youth season beforehand as well. So, yeah, March 25th is a Friday. That's right. So it starts on a Friday, March 25th, and it goes through May 8th. So the 25th through the 8th is turkey season now. Not the 15th, Now, the weekend before that, right, that's going to be the weekend of the 19th. Even though turkey season starts on a Friday, the adult turkey season starts on a Friday, March 25th, the preceding Saturday and Sunday are the 19th and 20th. Okay?
Yes.
So, youth season is Saturday, Sunday. It doesn't start on, so this is the confusion. So, the 25th is the start of the adult turkey season, It's the everybody hunt on the 25th. It says here, the way it's written, that the youth hunt will be the Saturday and Sunday the week prior to the opening of spring season. So that doesn't mean it's the Saturday, Sunday. It's not the Friday. Even though turkey season opens on a Friday, the youth is the preceding Saturday and Sunday, which are the 19th and 20th of March.
Yes.
That's back when, basically, that's when, close to when turkey season used to open. Well, that's youth weekend now.
Yeah.
Okay. So youth season, 19th and 20th of March. The following Friday, the 25th, opens zone one. Turkey season runs through May 8th this year.
Yeah.
Now.
That's the first week of snake season.
I tell you what, though, I've gone back and looked at the logs here. I had the first year we had that later closing date. It was like March or May 2nd or something like that.
Yeah,
it was 40 something degrees that morning. So I'll make little notes. It was and I killed a turkey that morning.
How about that?
Yeah, I think I've killed 2 years now since it's been open. I killed turkeys in May.
Yeah,
which is kind of because it stands out. I'd never done it before the season moved forward. I killed turkeys in May, but
that's the opening weekend of amberjack season. Too.
It might be, yeah. Okay, yeah. But so once again, so back to this youth season, 19th and 20th of March. The 25th of March on a Friday opens Zone 1. Turkey season runs through the 8th. Now, why am I obsessing over these dates? Well, let's listen to this here. I'll read this to you. Out of the Outdoor Alabama and the seasons posted here, the Conservation Advisory Board decides on these dates. The biologists with DCNR make their suggestions, but the non-biologists set the dates and say, here's how it's going to work. No decoys for the first 10 days. Now, we've talked about this before. This was something we discussed at length last year. No decoys for the first 10 days.
And you just talked to the head honchos.
Well, I talked to folks because I had this question for the last few weeks because I was planning out the youth hunt, you know, for my daughter, kind of what I wanted to do and how I was, you know, kind of planning. I mean, that's how bad I am. For weeks ago, I'm already thinking about the opening of youth turkey season for my daughter. Once again, let's look at the language of this. This is why I called and checked. No decoys the first 10 days.
Of turkey season.
Of turkey season. So, let's do this. That means, according to state law, turkey season starts when youth turkey season starts. That means no decoys for youth turkey season. And also, you have the special disabled hunt, which is one day prior to all regular season opening days.
That's the 24th.
The 24th. No decoys for the
so
disabled
days.
Hunt.
That's three days.
So, first of all, no, because I think why I had to get an answer is I was like, well, for sure you would have decoys for the youth, but that is not true.
And for sure the disabled
hunt, and that is not true. So the two days of the youth hunt, no decoys. The day of the disabled hunt, which is on the 24th, the day before Zone 1 turkey opens up, no decoys. And then it's 7 days left into the turkey season before you can use them, which puts it at April 1st.
So no decoys till
April 1st, right? So if people are doing the math there, so these are some of the changes. So because the question is, when does turkey season start? And this is the law of the land. And this is, I have a feeling, my voice will be one of them that will address Conservation Advisory Board this year and say, y'all need to rethink that. But the youth season constitutes the start of turkey season and no decoys used. So because what I'm getting at is I would rather decoys be open for the kids and for the disabled hunt and then give me 10 days. I can't. You start at March 25th and give me 10 days. I'd rather – it's a personal hunting style, but I'd rather the adult hunters or the rest have the encumbrance of no decoys for 10 days than the children and the disabled. I mean,
I agree.
That may not be science. That's politics. I'd rather kids be able to have decoys and disabled hunters be able to have decoys. So, but in doing this, no decoys for the youth, no decoys for the disabled hunt that's on the day preceding, the 24th. And then for the rest of turkey season, no decoys until April 1st. And then April 1st through May 8th, you can use decoys. So I just think that's worth talking, and we'll have to talk about that a bunch going forward. I think that's all going to be very new to people, that is, once again, the start date and the decoy question. Because most, when I looked at this, is why I called and had to get an interpretation. Because I was thinking youth and disabled didn't count, and then it would be 10 days from the 25th, but it's not. So,
and the other thing on decoys, they can't be moving. They can't be movable.
We don't. Isn't that been the law for a while, though? You can't have.
You can't take a fan, turkey tail, and spin it around by hand or all that. You can't get it and walk up on a field.
You can't fan birds here yet. Yeah, I think that's been the rule for a while, hasn't it?
Yes, but I just want people to know that because a lot of people don't know that.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And remember, too, this is some of the changes that had already happened, but people getting used to that. It's one gobbler per day, four per season.
Used to be five.
Right.
So now it's four.
So remember that. So those are some of the changes. I know we talked about that a bit last year, but hey, a lot of people forgot stuff or never even paid attention to it last year. We're here to make you aware of it. And for people that keep keep up with this stuff, I thought it was worth talking about the fact that the no decoy thing actually backs up to youth season and not off of the starting zone. So there's a little bit. Check out OutdoorAlabama.com. We'll have more talk about this between now and the start of youth season, yep. Believe me, on this show. Talk some fishing when we come back. Captain Wayne Miller joins us. Wait a minute. You talk about Big Bass Month, February and March?
Yep.
Big Bass Month. Let's talk about it next with Captain Wayne. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you there. And, yeah, well, more of this conversation, if you want to, I don't know, you can post up on our Facebook page or send me an email if you got any questions about it. But one of the key takeaways is, number one, March 25th, that's the start of Zone 1 turkey season, but the youth turkey is the Saturday, Sunday preceding it, and because of the way they have it written, no decoys in the first 10 days. That actually starts during youth season. So yep. No decoys for youth or disabled. And it actually doesn't, I guess April 1st is the first day I think you could use decoys again in the season. But we'll keep talking about that going forward. Oh, yes.
Instead of worrying about 10 days, just think about April 1st.
Yes.
You can't use decoys to April 1st.
And you can't use them for
the
youth
season. Don't ask any questions. You just can't
use
decoys.
Well, you will always ask questions. That's what I do. Also ask questions of this man. And we mentioned at the beginning of the show, back for the Mobile Boat Show, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and the Guides Corner. And one of our favorite guides in the Guides Corner is Captain Wayne Miller. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
I'm good.
We're great, man.
But not as good as you, because, I mean, you're...
You fish every day.
Yeah, you're always fishing. So.
Yeah, well, I tell you, man, it's been a really good week this past week. You know, the conditions we've got right now in the Delta, of course, we're coming off a lot of high water, which is not unusual for us this time of year. But, you know, the good news is, you know, the Mobile right now today, you know, it's around 6 feet. And they still got a little bit more of a rise projected on the Mobile. You know, it's supposed to go up to about 6.5, maybe a little more by Tuesday. But, you know, the good thing about that is it hadn't gotten up high enough to blow through the, you know, the middle, the lakes and creeks in the middle delta and the lower delta. Now, the upper delta is pretty much a wash because, you know, I mean, I think today the Claiborne reading is 32. And, you know, over on the Tom, it's, you know, around 30, 31 feet. So, I mean, there's just really no fishing to be had up there right now from the standpoint of bass fishing. But our fishing down here is held up. You know, and what we've got right now, we've already had some, you know, a few waves of fish spawn. So we've got fish up in the bays and up in the real skinny water. But we've got a lot of fish that are staging in that relatively shallow water that, you know, I've been having just a field day catching fish. You know, I'm not much to go and try to catch, you know, bedding fish. But, you know, I love, you know, these creeks this time of year because those fish really, they hang the feed bag on before they get ready to pull up in there and really do their deal.
I want to talk about that. Pull up in a creek and where those, you know, I'm kind of, tell me, if right on the bank, the super skinny water, there's the bedding area. How far are we, and let's say that's what? Could they say that's a foot of water? Is that fair, 2 feet of water?
You know, typically, you know, what you'll find is, you know, it's depending on the bottom composition, you know, it'll be anywhere from 1 to 4 feet of water.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, in the bays, we don't have much more water than that.
That's right.
Most of the bays. But, you know, once those fish pull in there and lock down on these beds, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, what do they do when this water pulls out? You know, they'll stay there. I mean, they can stay in extremely shallow water, especially when they have, you know, aquatic vegetation there. You know, they just hunker down. But, you know, from the standpoint of fishing for them, it's actually a lot easier to fish for those pre-spawn fish,
right?
Because, you know, they're actually feeding. I mean, they're trying to eat as much as they can because they know what's fixing to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get into with you on that. Because so there's the bedding fish. You kind of gave us the area. So how far are you backing out of there? Are you looking for a certain depth? I mean, where, if that's a spawning fish, 1 to 4 feet, they're up against the bank, they'll stay there even when the tide goes down. Where do we find those pre-spawn fish? What, I mean, like, what's the hot zone for them?
You know, what I look for, especially down on the lower end along the causeway, is basically any of those creeks that are adjacent to the bays, that are connected to the bays. You know, what you're going to find is, there's, you know, there are going to be areas that really load heavily in pre-spawn fish, but there's basically fish everywhere in those creeks. I mean, a lot of people don't believe that, but there really are. I mean, there's pretty significant numbers just from the standpoint that, you know, that really has to load up because, you know, they can't all move in and spawn at the same time. So you've got fish that are just moving in, that are getting into anywhere from that, you know, 3 to 6, 7 foot water. And you've got fish that have already spawned and are moving back out. So, I mean, it's a cycle this time of year. So I don't rule out any of those areas in those creeks. Now, the one thing that really plays in heavily right now is, and what we've been seeing is, you know, we've got – first thing in the morning, we're on a real strong tide cycle, but it's real low first thing in the morning, and then we got an incoming tide. Well, what we've had is water temperature with these warm days in the bays. The water temperature is up around 70 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But as we see, as the day progresses and it starts pushing that water back up in the creeks and the bays, it's actually dropping that water temperature some. So from the standpoint of the activity of the fish, what I've seen over the past week, it's actually been the fish have been feeding a lot better early in the day versus later in the day when you get the water up, and it typically is moving stained to muddy water further back in the creeks and the bays.
And colder water, too, right? You're
yeah,
saying.
Right. It's colder. So,
it's kind of flipped around from what you would think. You, we always think, well, it would be coolest in the morning and warm up through the afternoon, but with the tide, that's backwards.
Yeah. I mean, and that, you know, that's something that, you know, we just have to, you know, when we're piecing together a pattern here on the Delta, you know, it's not like an inland reservoir. I mean, we have to factor in the wind. We have to factor in the tide. You know, I mean, there's so many things that come into play as far as how those fish react during the day. And, you know, a lot of times all that involves to stay on the fish is just to move further up in the creek or further up the bays, you know, and stay in that little bit cleaner water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, but you got to be willing to, you know, move around and try some different techniques. You know, the great thing for this week, this past week, man, we have just been literally crushing fish on power techniques. And, you know, I'm talking about throwing spinner baits. You know, I've been catching a ton of fish on buzz baits.
On buzz baits? You know, and, on buzz baits? It's February.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, chatter baits. You know, a lot of those power techniques, but, you know, one thing that that I've really enjoyed this past week, you know, something that I do this time of year, you know, we talk about it a lot in the fall and early winter about, you know, keeping a DOA on the deck. You know, mm-hmm. We always talk about having one there ready to throw. Well, this is the time of year when I always keep a trick worm on a spinning rod with no weight on it, and I just keep that on the deck. And I can't tell you how many times I have fish that'll boil a spinner bait or a buzz bait, and a lot of times they won't come back on that bait. But if you've got that trick worm and you can pick it up, throw it right on top of them, twitch it, and just let it dead stick, man, they just cannot stand it. They got to eat it.
I love throwing trick worms.
You know, and the great thing about that is, so that's one technique that, you know, I always apply my golfing principle to that. I just see what gaudy color I can throw today. You know, I mean, you know, those god-awful bubblegum worms and the red, the methylates,
yes,
and the greens. And
What is the story with that? I mean, because you know, out of that, I throw that methylate and I throw a white. I've always, people say why, and I said because I see people who do better than me throw it them. But also, I guess I like the fact that if I have somewhat clean water, sometimes I've set the hook because I see it disappear. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I twitch it and see it. Yeah. I mean, what is your thought on? I mean, methylate is the farthest color from or bubblegum from anything that exists in nature. Explain that one.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to explain, but I can tell you this: these fish, once they pull up this time of year, they get so aggressive. I think any bright color like that, they just want to crush it, man. And the real advantage to it is when you've got clear to even stained water with those real bright worms, what you can do is, you know, and anybody that's thrown them knows, you know, if you just work it really slow and twitch it, you actually get that walk the dog action under the water. But you can see the bait even, you know, 30, 40 feet out from the boat. And, you know, I mean, it's great because just like you say, you know, I mean, it's pretty simple. If you lose sight of the worm, set the hook.
Yeah, yes.
You know, I mean, it's that simple. And about 95% of the time, guess what? You're going to have a fish on there. So it's a real fun technique to use this time of year, and it's real productive. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, our first reaction when we miss a fish, like on a buzzbait, we want to throw that buzzbait right back on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when they will come back and hit it, but more often than not, you know, you typically don't get a follow-up on a real loud bait like that. You typically have better success if you try to follow that up real quick with a subtle bait like that trick worm.
All right, we're coming right back. More of our conversation with Captain Wayne Miller. He is part of the Guide's Corner, so remember, as you come out, and like I said, we're talking everything from the inshore world, bass world, to offshore world. You've got questions about fishing the Mobile Tensaw Delta. This is our man. We'll continue the discussion about methylate trick worms and a whole lot more when we come back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you in part by McConnell Buick GMC, Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our friend Captain Wayne Miller, who is one of the rowdy crew we bring out for the Mobile Boat Show at the Guide's Corner. It's a rough bunch here.
But we have a great time. All of us down there chit-chatting.
Oh, it's great. I tell you what, this will be a question you'll probably get, Captain Wayne, when we're down there, but you can answer it for folks now. You talk about power fishing. Right, and power fishing techniques. Talk about that, what you're doing right now with power fishing, and kind of describe, first of all, give like a definition of power fishing and how you're applying it right now.
Yeah, well, you know, like we're talking about these pre-spawn fish. So, you know, if you're up in the bays or even in these creeks, what you want to do is cover a lot of water because they're active fish in relatively shallow water. And, you know, there's a lot of different techniques that work really well from the standpoint of bait selection. You can throw spinner baits, you know, shallow running crank baits, chatter baits. There's just a myriad of different style baits that work effectively in that, you know, that water column. You're relatively shallow, but, I mean, you know, you can cover that, you know, fairly quickly with a lot of these different type baits. You know, one thing that I think a lot of people miss out on this time of year, and it's amazing because I see people do it all the time, and this is not something that I figured out. Fortunately, years ago, I had the good fortune to fish with a guy that, you know, I really got to be good friends with, just a great fisherman. And he taught me something that has stuck with me, and this time of year it comes into play, and in the summertime it comes into play, and it's a little tip that I'll give people. You know, a lot of times, anybody that's fishing this time of year, you know, you'll hear it constantly, and you're like, man, And man, did you see that one flashed right at the boat when I was reeling right. that spinner bait in? Or, you know, I saw one follow that buzz bait. You know, he was right there, you know, when I pulled it out of the water. And what happens is there's so many fish and they're they're feeding this time of year, so they're aggressive and they're competitive with each other. So a lot of times what you'll have is you'll have fish that'll actually, you know, when one pulls out on a bait, another one will, and a lot of times they'll follow it right to the boat, and, you know, quite often you'll get a hit right at the boat. But most of the time people aren't ready for that, and what do we end up doing? We jerk it and take it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend of mine I was telling you about, the one thing he taught me to do, and it's not uncommon during the course of a day this time of year for me to catch two or three fish just by doing this one simple thing. Every time I reel a bait in, whether it's a spinnerbait, a chatterbait, a buzzbait, anything, right when I get it to the boat, instead of speeding that up and pulling it out of the water, I purposely stop it and just pop it a time or two, especially the underwater baits like a spinnerbait. And what happens is, you know, if a fish is following that bait, when it stops and starts falling, man, there's so many times, boom, they will suck it up. I mean, they'll hit it so hard. It's just amazing. But I don't think most of us as anglers realize how many times we have fish follow those baits. But in a hurry to make another cast, all we're doing is just trying to reel it in when it gets right to the boat so we can make another shot. And we miss out on a lot of those opportunities for fish that are actually right there at the boat on us.
You know, that's happened to me. I can't tell you how many times. Right? Just, you know, anytime you bass fish, you're going to have them follow the bait right up to the boat. All the, you know, not all the time, but quite frequent you do. So yeah. That is a great tip for people. It really
you
is.
You know, this guy that I'm telling you about that did this, he's a good friend of mine that lives in Texas. He's actually a guide over there. And he used to keep a crankbait on the deck with about 6 inches of line out. And I've seen him do it 1,000 times, probably more than that. He'd get a fish on a crankbait, get it right up to the boat. Well, he'd hold that rod in his left hand with the fish on, take the rod with a crankbait on the deck, pick it up, stick it in the water, and do a figure eight, and all of a sudden he's swinging two fish in the water.
Double up to catch up.
Yeah, I mean, and this guy told me, he said, man, you just don't realize how many times there's several fish that follow your bait all the way to the boat.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what we see now with this forward-facing sonar, we actually can see that happen now. I mean, I installed one on my brother's boat here a couple of weeks ago. And, I mean, it's just amazing. You can throw a crankbait or a jerkbait, and you can watch those fish. You know, just all of a sudden, here they come, man, and they'll just pile up behind it. It may be two or three, and, you know, one of them will just, you know, he'll dart out and, you know, get it. And you're hooked up.
Wayne,
tell people. Now we've got actually the technology to watch that happen.
And tell people what that is. Explain to people what you're talking about, the electronics.
Yeah, you know, all of the major companies, you know, Lowrance, Hummingbird, all of them, right, Garmin, they've come out with, you know, sonar now that is so much superior to what we used to have. I mean, the detail on these, you can actually see the fins on the fish. You can distinguish between bass and carp, and, you know, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Now, obviously, they work better in a deeper water environment. They're not really that, you know, that good in real skinny water.
What are you saying, deep versus skinny? Like, at what point is it deep enough that it really can show off? Like, how deep?
You know, four feet. Now, you know, that's my experience with it, which is fairly limited. I mean, the guys that use it all the time, you know, obviously they're shooting boat docks and stuff, and they can discern, you know, fish up in there better than what I can. But, you know, obviously it definitely works better in deeper water. But, you know, the forward facing, you know, they've got the down mode, they've got a scout mode. But it basically, I mean, you're not seeing little blips or anything. You can actually see the fish. And so, I mean, it's really just a phenomenal tool. But there again, it's something that you really have to use to be proficient with it. And, you know, but when you really harness, you know, that technology, it's pretty amazing. But, you know, bottom line is it doesn't make fish bite, though.
Yeah, but there's that interesting part of it, too, that knowing that these, and I've seen it down in South Florida, been in real clear water. I've talked about this with trout before, that, you know, the competitive nature when there's four or five together. But when one finally bites, goes after it, it triggers something in the other fish, and that's what you're capitalizing on, that they're going to bite. Something like, well, once somebody's bitten, then we're all going to bite. You know, it's a weird kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
It changes their personality. They're chasing. Finally, one bites. Now the others will all bite.
That's why the Alabama rig works so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, this new technology, I mean, it's changed the way people do especially crappie fishing.
Well, I was going to ask you that question. But that was my next question. Tell me about how this works on white perch. That's my thing.
Crappie guys absolutely mow them down with these units, man. I mean, I really believe they probably sell more of that technology for the crappie fishermen than they do bass right now.
I can see how that would really work. Amazing. Yeah.
The potential you have to, you know, target a specific species and actually be able to go out there and really just pick them apart. And the advantage to that is, you know, you pull up on a top, and I've had a couple of the white perch guys tell me this, you know, where used to they would say, well, you know, is there one or two, three fish in this top? Well, when you can use that forward-facing sonar to look at it before you even get up there on it, and you can see, hey, there's 30 fish there. So when I ease up there and I turn it to the down scan mode, you can take a jig and actually, you know, pick those fish off one at a time. And, you know, I mean, you not only can pinpoint the fish, but you actually have a pretty good idea about, you know, the numbers of fish that are on a particular object. So it's amazing technology.
And for people that are trolling for crappie out in open waters, what a lot of
that's the thing.
That,
the open water thing has got to be amazing.
That's got to be just unbelievably good. When you see two or three over to the left, instead of keep going straight, just go veer to the left a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's got to be a killer on them.
But, you know, there again, Mike, it really is just like when you utilize that technology for bass, it's not as easy as just turning a unit on and, you know, you throw out there. I mean, it takes a lot of dedication, time, and, you really have to, you know, put some time in to get proficient with those units.
And that's what we never want to do.
It's absolutely phenomenal, too.
Yeah.
That is what we never want to do. You know, it's like all the majority of the features on any electronics in our boats, whether you're bass fishing or offshore fishing, we don't utilize them because, well, we got, you know, we're doing something else. All right, coming right back, more with Captain Wayne Miller. And, okay, this crappie stuff's got me excited, too.
What is it with you and crappie?
I don't know. It's because
it's kind of like you and turkey.
Yep, they both delicious in that skillet, aren't they? All right, coming right back. All right, we're back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, our guest. Captain Wayne Miller will be there at the Guides Corner March 11th, 12th, and 13th as we're at the Mobile Boat Show. Captain Wayne, you're talking about this forward-facing sonar out there and the use for bass fishing, also in the white perch crappie world out there. You did say, you were telling us a story during the break how the fish have reacted to that in places where it's getting used too much. You're talking about Lake Eufaula, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, what we were talking about, and it's pretty amazing. You know, you've got a scenario in places like that where when the fish aren't up on the bank, you know, when it's not spring and the fish are up spawning, most of those fish drop back. And the majority of fishermen, bass fishermen, they target them on offshore brush piles. And these are brush piles that people put out. But some of the real good tournament fishermen that I know that fish a lot up on lakes like Eufaula, what they've been telling me is, you know, with the advent of this technology and so many people utilizing it now, what they're starting to see is that these fish will have a negative reaction to that sonar. In other words, when you pull up there and you're using that forward-facing sonar and you're pinging, you know, trying to look at those fish, you can actually see those fish move away from those brush piles because they've been hammered so much out there that, you know, they pick up on the fact that, you know, something's not right here.
Yeah, they the ones that got caught by it, they're gone. The ones that
are, right.
I mean, think about it for like spinning wing decoys for duck hunting. The first couple years of the spinning wing decoy, ooh my.
Yep.
It was beyond deadly. Beyond deadly.
Yeah.
Now it works on first year birds, but birds have been around a while. It's funny how critters will come up with something new and it works a while, but then nature takes its course and finds a way to, so we don't
get smart.
Catch every last one or shoot every last one. You know, it adjusts.
I think you nailed it without analogy. I mean, it really does. Mother Nature has a way of taking care of itself, protecting the resource. And, you know, not that this technology is not, you know, phenomenal, because it is, but it just shows you that over time, you know, the fish, they'll adjust to it accordingly. So, you know, it's just another tool that occasionally comes into play for us. But, you know, it doesn't replace just good old-fashioned hard work and really paying attention and developing a pattern. You know, I mean, I don't think you'll ever do away with that, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, being beneficial to you outdoors, whether you're hunting or fishing.
No, that's right. That's right.
We don't have just a couple more minutes. So this piece of equipment, is this something that you can add on to your dip recorder, or you have to buy a recorder with that?
These are all independent units. I mean, you pretty much have to, you know, buy this new technology, and it's, you know, it's not terrible expensive. I mean, you can buy a complete nice system for, you know, around $3,000, $3,500.
I thought you said it wasn't expensive.
A lot of money. But, I mean, we pay that much for trolling motors now. So
yeah.
That's true. And Lord knows nothing's getting cheaper.
And that was last week. Now yeah. $6,000.
That's right, Mike.
Put the inflation on it for sure. All right, Captain Wayne, we're looking forward to the boat show. Obviously, looking forward to folks coming out and talking with you and getting a chance to, you know, find out whether we're talking about technology, or I like what you said, or just the old-fashioned. Before you add technology to it, I think there's a danger in today's world. You buy the new technology when you don't have the skill set to put yourself in the right place to use it. I mean, you got to learn
That's
the basics.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you'll never replace that sweat equity.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Captain Wayne, somebody wants to get a trip booked. Get a trip booked with you. How do they do it?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right. Very good. We'll let you get back to what you do best. That's catching those bass.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
You too.
All right, Wayne. Thank you, buddy.
Captain Wayne Miller. And we're out of here. We'll be back next week. Happy Mardi Gras to everybody.
I'm ready for boat show, man.
And then the
Looking
boat show coming
that.
Up as well. So, lots going on. Remember, you can keep online, keep up with us, what we're doing online, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.